because I need to know who to preach to. No, I'm just kidding. But I did. I, you know, you kind of talk about that as a pastor. You're like, man, I hope we got some survivors this week that are here. And so there are quite a few families. Be praying for, please. I said this in our Sunday school class. But be praying for Tina and Steve. They're with their daughter Jenna. Jenna's just going through some really tough times emotionally, and also just now physically sick too, with an illness. And also just the Shermans, I notice, aren't over here, and that's because they've been dealing with sickness this week, and Miss Lavona has been sick as well. So, and then there's other families that I can just like look from here and go, they're not there, they're not there, they're not there. And they've mentioned to me this week that they are sick. Miss Elizabeth has got pneumonia, has had pneumonia this week, and just there's several others. So be praying for one another. And but let me say this, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Aren't we glad to be of the survivors this week and be here? And also, it's good to have Brother Jared and Amanda, Miss Amanda, with us in our services today. And it's good to see you, brother. Brother Jared is actually going to be preaching for us in the afternoon service, and he's going to be giving us an update of what's going on in their ministry, because their ministry is changing. And I'll let him describe all that to you this afternoon. And so, but you guys are members of our church and been serving in Rapid City, helping a church. And so I just wanted him to have time to let you know what all is going on, what they're planning to do. And you know, I just trust the Lord that he was kind of working on me with some of my messages too. And so I thought, you know what, why don't you just preach? And we were talking. I said, hold that thought. I'm going to pray about that. And then we talked another 20 minutes. And by the end, I thought, yeah, he's just going to preach. So he's going to preach for us this afternoon. I'm looking forward to that. So be back in the 2 o'clock service. Looking forward to what Brother Jared brings to us then. We are going to be in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1, and we're switching it up. I know change is hard, but we're changing this today because Brother Jared's preaching in the afternoon service. And we are in the book of Exodus on Sunday mornings, but we're kind of coming into that Christmas season. And so I was already thinking about switching and preaching. I had a Christmas message in mind for this morning. And because my Exodus message out of Exodus 18 is absolutely perfect for the beginning of the year, and that 2 Peter 3:18 verse on growing in grace, and I just feel the Lord putting it all together. So we're going to hold off on Exodus until January, and so next week I'll probably get into some of the Christmas story. I love to preach through the Christmas story this time of year, so we'll do that. But for today, I've just moved my message from this afternoon to this morning because I just believe that sometimes the Lord works, and that's what he wants me to do. And so I hope this is a help to you. I just called it this, fellowship with him. So if you have found 1 John, that little book near the end of your Bible, chapter number 1, if you'll stand with me, we'll just read the verse together. If you'll stand for respect of God's word, and I'll have you be seated. The Bible says this, 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd help me this morning preaching this message. I pray that, Lord, we would understand what is here and how this passage, although very simple, can really affect every part of our lives. And I pray that we'd understand what true fellowship with you is all about. And Lord, that we would be obedient to do the things necessary to have that fellowship. I pray you'd help me in preaching today. Lord, that your word and your spirit would do the work. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever experienced something that you wanted others to experience as well? I used to drive my wife, I used to drive her crazy. I probably still do drive her crazy. And now it's really shifted to our kids that I drive them crazy because I like them to try everything. I like them to try. So if you're eating something and I'm like, man, this is good, you got to try this. And the kids look at you and go, I'm not eating that. And I make them try. As a good dad, I just force them to try it. And then if they don't like it, I usually make them try it again because they didn't get a good enough taste. No, I'm not that mean. But I used to drive my wife crazy because she was, you know, she's not as picky anymore. But when we started dating, I was like, what do you eat? You know, it just various things that she didn't eat. And I'm always trying to make her try things. And it got on her nerves most of the time. But it's because I thought, man, this is so good. You have to experience that. Have you ever been there? This last fall, we had Brother Bigham here. And I told you that he had told me how to properly eat pancakes. Now, this whole message is not going to be about food, but it is fellowship with him. And so I he told me how to properly eat pancakes. And then when he was here, I told him, I said something about that. And he said, yeah, we may get to that. And he never got to that. But I've been concerned ever since that you don't know how to properly eat pancakes. And it's a life changer. What you do, you take the pancakes, they get come to you stacked up. Most people just, you know, pour the syrup on. And then go to eating, right? That's the worst way to eat pancakes. All the syrup is going to run off the side of the plate, and you're not going to have a good syrup to pancake ratio, which is you got to keep pretty high. So Brother Bigham said, what you do is you take your fork and your knife, and you cut the pancakes this way in 1-inch strips. And then you turn the plate 90 degrees. I know it's technical, but 90 degrees, and then you cut them the same way again in 1-inch cubes. Then you kind of give them a toss with the fork, and then and only then do you apply the syrup. And what you'll see is you can put almost a whole bottle of syrup into about 3 pancakes because, I mean, it sucks up the syrup. It's good. So listen, I knew that. I've been worried about it that you didn't know it. Now you know it, all right? And I'll talk to Brother Bigham and say, hey, you can't leave us all hanging like that. But I'm one of those that if I've experienced something, I like other people to experience the same thing. And the thing is, not all, everyone always wants to do, what we've experienced. On our honeymoon, we went to Jamaica and we were walking down this, it's kind of a river hike. And so we're hiking up this river. And one of the Jamaicans, who I will not try to impersonate his voice because I can't, but one of those Jamaicans said, hey, over here, there's an underwater cave in this river that you can swim through. And so I'm like, hey, I'm here. Might as well. And so he tells me, reach down there and grab. You can grab down to feel the top of the cave. He said, you just have to trust me. You remember? You just have to trust me. You just pull yourself under and it's going to be pitch dark. He said, just keep swimming until you see light. And eventually you'll see light. You'll swim out the other end. Well, I'm like, I'm young. I can't die at that point, right? So sure, I'll do that. And I remember doing it. I pulled under there, and for just an instant, I opened my eyes. Sure enough, it was pitch dark, and I thought, what have I done? And what happened is that river's just pushing you through this cave, and you don't see the wall. It's dark. And I, for a second, I just thought, oh boy, what did I just do? You know? Well, here a minute later, I can see the light, and I start swimming. And I get out of this little underwater cave, and it was really cool. And I mean, I tried to convince my wife to do it. You got to experience that. Almost dying, but then not. It's great, you know? She didn't want to do it. And but it's kind of in me. I just, if I've experienced something good, I like to share it. I like to, and I know that you're that way too, because when we're at a fellowship, people are telling me, hey, you got to go try that over there. You got to go try it. You need some of that. Well, the reason I'm saying all that is because John in this verse says this, in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What John is saying is, hey, we have experienced Christ. Remember chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he said, you know, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled. And he's talking about the word of life. He's talking about Jesus Christ. John is saying, man, we walked with the Savior. We saw him and we saw the miracles that he did. Our hands have handled him. We walked hand in hand with Christ and we have fellowship with him. And he's saying, I'm telling you all this because I want you to experience the same fellowship that I have had with Christ. I want you to experience that same fellowship. So these verses, and really the emphatic words in the verse are that ye may also. John wants us to experience what he has with Christ, that relationship that he had and that fellowship. Now, fellowship is important, and we're going to work on the word fellowship and maybe defining that word properly or bringing. We all know what fellowship are, right? We're Baptists. Fellowship is a potluck, right? We're going to gather together. We're going to eat. That is part of fellowship. And by the way, that's even biblical. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 through 47, we see the church continuing in fellowship. But I want you to notice their fellowship was doctrine and fellowship. Then they were also fellowshipping, but it says breaking in bread and prayers, right? So there's always a spiritual side to their fellowship. So it wasn't just, man, we get real excited about a church potluck because that's our, oh, we're going to have a fellowship. And I'm, again, all for it because I do believe it's good for us to get together, eat together, enjoy one another's company. But our fellowship has to be more than just someone's favorite casserole, right? Our fellowship has to be more than that. And so this morning, I hope to bring light to what true fellowship with the Father and even with each other really is. I want to start by just talking about the possibility of fellowship and really how this is going to go. We're going to talk about what Christ has done to make fellowship possible for us. And then I'm going to give you four really practical, you're going to think, man, we're back in Sunday school. I'm 6 years old again, and he's teaching me these same things. And we're going to go to four very practical ways that you can restore or enhance and better your fellowship with Christ. Because it's just my assumption that as we live this life, there are times when we are out of fellowship with him and we're not experiencing him like we should. And so I just want to give you the way back, and it's found in the Bible this morning. So the possibility of fellowship. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, John had experienced Christ firsthand. He had, we read there that he had looked upon him, he had seen him, he had heard him. And wouldn't it be something to like actually hear Jesus preach? John got to hear Jesus preach on a regular basis. Just an unbelievable thought that you could sit in the congregation and listen to Jesus Christ preach. He had that. But here's what I find interesting. He's talking about his past and the things that he had seen and heard. But notice in verse 3, when he talks about fellowship with Christ, he doesn't say we had fellowship with Christ. No, he said we experienced Christ. Verse 1 is past tense. But verse 3, toward the end of the verse, notice he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What he's saying is that's a present tense passage. He's saying those are the things. Now, John's 90 years old by this point, maybe. He's older in the ministry. He's writing this book toward the end of his life. So this is after the Lord has already returned to heaven in his ascension. And now there's been like 30 or 40 years past. And John is saying, I'm still in fellowship with Christ. I want you to understand, I've experienced Christ, but I'm still in fellowship. I remain in fellowship with Christ. And John wants us to know that we can have fellowship through Christ with the Father. In John learned this lesson in John chapter 14 and verse 8. Look at what the Bible says here. And of course, this is John writing this. So he's writing of his recalled experience. It says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. So Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father, so we'll know who you are. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You know, Jesus is, we have fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. How do we come to God? Through Jesus Christ. How do we have access to his grace? Through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost, that word fellowship, communion, be with you all. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Ghost, the Trinity is involved in our fellowship. And John says, you can have fellowship. I'm writing this. I'm giving you some instructions that ye may have fellowship. He wanted others to have what he had. If you have been truly saved, changed by Jesus Christ, you can have fellowship with him. And if you're like John, where you have been saved, you've been changed by Christ, and you have fellowship with him, let me just tell you, you'll want other people to experience that same salvation and relationship that you now have. When we see someone in the world, someone who's not saved, go through a hard time, go through a loss, go through a trial, don't we often think, man, how do they do that without Christ? How do they do that without having fellowship with him? And here's the thing, they don't do it with joy, and they don't do it with faith, and they don't do it believing that Christ has the answers. It's a very different thing to go through trials without having fellowship. So we who know Christ and have fellowship with him, we ought to want others to know Christ and have fellowship with him as well. I remember the day that I got saved. I remember it very well. It's like I could play it like a movie in my mind. It's just been burned in there. I remember the burden of sin that I had mixed with my fear of condemnation. And I was not old enough to even know what condemnation was, but I knew what it felt like. And that was upon me. And I remember that they explained to me very clearly the gospel. I mean, just in Sunday school and my preacher and all those, and then my parents coming along and reaffirming the gospel. So that night, again, they went over the gospel, and I'm sitting there going, I know the gospel. I know Jesus died for me. I know that he rose from the dead. I just want to get saved. Well, eventually they got to the part where they asked, do you want to accept Christ? And I couldn't wait. I said, oh, yes, I do. And we bowed on this little couch, and I asked Christ to save me right then. And I just remember right that instant that there was a burden that was lifted off my life, and immediately joy came over me. And I remember those first few weeks of being saved, I told everybody. Told everybody I met. Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. I don't have to go to hell. He forgave me of my sins. And as an 8-year-old boy, it just flowed because I was so happy, so joyful, so excited. I wanted everyone else to experience what I had. But you understand something that happens as we grow. And our excitement tends to wane. And no longer are we just as excited as the day we got saved. Now, I'm not saying that's how it should be. If that's not how it is, there's something wrong with our fellowship. Because it's not just a past experience. It's an ongoing fellowship with Christ. We should stay encouraged and excited. I remember when my son Jackson got saved. We had pushed him away a couple times because, just making sure in his heart he wanted to get saved. He finally did get saved. And I remember that he was excited about it. And I remember one day I was out in the front yard. And there was a neighbor, just our neighbor friend to the side of our house. And we were sitting there talking. And I was talking to him about who knows what, the weather, the grass, the sports, I don't know what I was talking to him about, but I was talking to him about something. And Jax comes bumping over there, 8 years old, looks right at the guy, interrupts me as he tends to do. And he says, I got saved. And my neighbor said, well, that's great. And I said, yeah, he got saved last Sunday or whatever day it was. I said, he got saved. Yeah, he came. And so we got to talk to our neighbor about how to get saved. Now, I'm just telling you, I immediately went from big tough dad to being like, because I'm over here talking about the weather and the grass and you know, who knows what I was talking about. And it just never even occurred to me. Maybe I should share with this person what I've experienced in Christ. But he had just gotten saved. He was all excited. He just told me, I got saved. And so that left me with having to explain to this man what my kid just said. And so that was good. We went through the plan. And he said he was a believer that day. I still don't know to this day, yay or nay, but he said he was that day. Your son's name is Sam. He came up to me in the handshaking time a while ago. He said, I got saved back in March. Little kid. Just this morning, he shook my hand and said, I got saved back in March. I said, man, that's great. He said, yeah, after I got saved, I got baptized too. He's still excited about it. Wouldn't it be good if we were still excited about it? I'm telling you right now, the reason that we may not be is because we've experienced what John said. We've We've experienced Christ. We've been saved, right? We understand that he died for our sins. We understand that he forgave us that day. But something has happened. Our fellowship with him has waned. And what John is saying here is like, just you had that experience with Christ past tense, but your fellowship is a present tense thing. It's something that needs to continue. It's something that needs to always be there. You always need to work on that relationship with Christ. If we've lost our fellowship, I'm just telling you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And so this morning, and just imagine this, just before we get into these practical reasons, the God of the universe wants to fellowship with you. I mean, that's an incredible thought. He wants you to be in his presence, and he wants to fellowship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to look at four things, and I want you to know these are very simple. You're going to think, man, here we go again. But the Christian life is pretty simple. It really is. I mean, I know life is complicated. Life throws us all this stuff. But really, when you boil it down, what God has asked us to do is pretty easy to understand. I'll give you the four things, but I'm going to tell you, none of these things happen without spending time with God, right? And it's a lot of the things in the scriptures that tell us about our fellowship with the Lord are pictured through the marriage relationship. Now, just understand, if husband and wife don't spend time with one another, you understand they're not going to have the same level of fellowship that they would if they're apart, or if they were together, I should say. And so these things that we're going to go over have to do with our fellowship with one another. They have to do with our fellowship with the Lord, and yes, they're even applicable to our marriage relationship. And so I think it's very helpful. So here are the four things. Number one, you might want to write this down. Talk to God. Communicate. Talk to God. Time in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, just before you go, okay, here we are back in Sunday school. I'm 8 years old again. The teachers tell me, you need to pray. You know why they're telling you that? Because you need to pray. You need to communicate with God. You need to pray without ceasing. How could your relationship to God flourish? How could you have a good fellowship with him if you're not talking to him in prayer? If you're not asking him for his work in your life? It wouldn't work in marriage. It wouldn't work in a friendship relationship. It sure won't work with God. You say, why are you preaching this? Well, only about 60% of Christians say that they pray daily, according to some statistics. 40% of Christians say, will admit, I don't pray every day. And the ones that do pray have an average prayer life of about 2 minutes a day. That's just statistics. I'm not trying to be mean or rude or any of that kind of stuff. I hope that you're sitting there going, well, praise the Lord, that's not me. I talk to the Lord every day, and I spend good time with him. But I'm telling you, the reason Christians don't have fellowship with God, they're not talking to him. They're not praying. Your prayers won't ever be answered if you don't utter them. God wants to engage with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your prayers. I'm convinced that there are a lot of Christians who seldom or never actually pray except for over a meal right before we eat. Why is it that when my wife and I were dating, we could get on the phone and talk for hours about nothing? We had nothing to talk about. And we could talk to the point where my mom would get on the phone. Back in the day, it wasn't cell phones, it was the landline. And so you're in one room talking, and mom gets on there, Jeremy, it's time to hang up. Okay, mom. But I can't utter more than 2 minutes to the Lord. I can get with my buddies, and I mean, yesterday all the college football, so my team doesn't always win, and so they like to poke fun at me, and you know, we can go back and forth forever, and it's like, okay, we have that conversation, and that's part of our fellowship, that's our relationship, but why can't I have that with the Lord? Why is it when it comes to God, I'm silent? I want to ask you, how's your prayer life? Because if you're not excited about your salvation, if you're not wanting others to have what you have, if you feel out of step with God and your fellowship with God is waning, I'm telling you, step one, talk to Him. Pray. Have you ever got down on your knees and said, man, I'm going to really pray this time? You get down there and you pray about everything you can think of. I mean, you pray about the bills, you pray about the kids, you pray about your wife, you pray about your own life, you pray for the church, you pray for everything, and you think, man, all right, good. And you get up, it's been 4 minutes. We got to work on our prayer. We got to work on our communication. And by the way, it's not just when we're on our knees in our prayer closet. I try to just always be speaking to God about something. Pray. Number two, listen to God. I told you these were deep. You know, I graduated college. It's not easy to dig this stuff up. Listen to God. Well, how do I do that? I just want God to speak to me. Let me help you. He has spoken to you. It's right here. How do I hear from God? Well, I have to spend time in His Word. I'm just so convicted by how hard it is for me to carve out 30 minutes with the Lord in my Bible. But I can get on this thing and just mindlessly scroll for just as long as it'll arrest my attention. Man, that's convicting. And here, I'm not being edified. I'm not being helped. Usually, it's making me irritated. And I just keep wanting more, scrolling more. But then, you know, I told our Sunday school class, I'm reading through Hosea. That's a tough little book to read. Isn't it hard to, why is it so hard for us to just get into God's Word and spend time? Well, I don't ever get anything out of the Bible. Well, I'm just telling you right now, you're not spending enough time there. Because there's things to get in the Bible. And if you're not getting anything out of the Bible, it's because you're not spending enough time there. You know, Elijah had this experience with God. I was thinking about this, 1 Kings 19, and a great strong wind before Elijah, but the Lord wasn't in the wind, you know, and then the earthquake went before the Elijah, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then I think it was a fire that went before Elijah, but God wasn't in the fire. And it was only that still small voice, when everything quietened down, where Elijah heard God. Can I tell you, you got to have time with God undistracted to hear from Him. I'm really good at, it just irritates me to no end. I'll be reading my Bible and It's amazing. My eyes can follow the words and then my brain be off in la la land. It happens all the time. And and the other day, I'd prayed a good while that, Lord, I just need to hear from You on something. And I had prayed and then I'm in my Bible, I'm praying, I'm asking God to, and before long, my eyes are moving and my brain is off in left field, you know? And I was telling my wife this because it was interesting. All of a sudden, my eyes stopped on one word. And it's because, have you ever, in your Bible, do you ever have a word that's like printed and there's like a blob of ink that shouldn't be there? It's like printed wrong. Well, there was a word that my eyes stopped on. And I was like, you know, come back from left field. My brain is now working together. And I think, well, that's weird. Why is that word like that? And then I think, man, I didn't read the last three verses. Anyway, I just stopped and I read those verses. It was exactly what God was trying to tell me that day. He spoke to me through His Word. It's like He woke me up and said, hey, pay attention. You're not paying attention. You know, you're just going through the motions. And I'm telling you, I know I do that. I'm admitting it to you, and I fight it. My Bible reading takes three times longer than it should some days because I have to read it three times. Because I get through the end of the chapter and I think, I didn't read that. I'm just telling you, we're not praying. We're not reading. We're not going to have fellowship with Him. 11% of adults report reading their Bible daily. I hate to say it like this, but that means 89% of adults aren't reading their Bible daily. And then when you get into the statistics of how much they're reading, it's kind of all over the place, but it's very low. It's a very small amount that people are reading. Now, how is it that Christians are going to have fellowship with Jesus Christ and be excited about what Christ has done for them and be a witness to others because they just want everyone to know what they have and they've experienced? How are they going to do that if they're not in the Word of God where we hear from God and if they're not praying to God where we have an opportunity to communicate with Him? How would we expect to ever have a real relationship with the Lord? My grandmother, she's 95. My granddad was he's a veteran. And when they were dating, while he was overseas, he was writing her letters. It's one of those like wonderful stories about they're writing letters back and forth. They got to wait weeks in between the letters. And she didn't know what had happened to him. And, you know, could you imagine her getting those letters and just being like, yeah, I got things to do? You'd be like, what? No, open. I want to see what's happened with it. What's going on? But could you imagine just setting those letters aside and, you know, I might read those tomorrow. No, listen, my grandmother hurried to the mailbox, found that letter from my granddad and quickly opened it and furiously read it. And then kept it and wrote one back. God has written us a few things, folks. And our attitude with it shouldn't be, well, man, I got a lot to do. I'm pretty busy these days, and you know, I'll get it later. So talk to God, listen to God. Number three, walk with God. Walk with God. Now, these are a result. You can't start on number three. You got to start with one and two. These are a result of praying and listening to God, walking with God. Notice if you're still in 1 John there, which we're going to just cheat a little bit and look down to verse 5. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we do lie and do not the truth. You see that? So we can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with Him. So we have to walk with God in order to have fellowship with Him. How do we walk with God? Well, if we're reading our Bible and we're praying, we're allowing the Holy Spirit's work in our life, there's just something that happens where we're able to find God's path and walk His way. But we're not going to be in fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 18, let me read you these verses. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with dark? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now, you know the answer to all those questions is none. Right? There is no fellowship between Christ and Belial. There's no fellowship between those in darkness and those in light. So when we're walking with God, we're allowing God into every part of our life. Jesus will not fellowship with us if we're trying to drag Him through the dark corners of our sin in our life. We're not going to be excited about what Christ has done if we're denying our walk with the Lord and we're walking in darkness. You know, they don't have statistics for walking in darkness. I tried to look. They just don't have them. But I'm telling you right now, if you're not doing the first two things, it's very likely that you're somewhere in the dark. Because the verse says, verse 7 there, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I take that to learn this. If we want to not walk in darkness, how do we do that? Well, we have to step into light, which is I'm getting closer to Christ. He's the light. I'm getting closer. If I'm within the boundary of His light, He's going to help me to live the way he wants me to live. So walk with God. So talk to God, listen to God, walk with God. And the last one, and let me just say this, don't start with number four. You can't start with number three, and you can't start with number four, and really you can't do number four until you're doing all three of the first ones. The fourth one, serve God. Serve God. Can I tell you this? The most joyful Christians are the Christians who serve the Lord. The Christians who have a real, meaningful relationship with Christ, and you can see it and it's oozing out of them and it's bubbling up, are the ones who are serving. Let me help the definition of the word just a little bit, because I want you to understand. And by the way, I'm not against potlucks. I feel like I'm preaching against potlucks. We don't preach against potlucks around here. But our fellowship is much more than just getting together and eating. This will be clear in just a second. I want to go over a few fellow words in the Bible. So we have the word fellowship. There's another bunch of group of fellow words in the Bible that all have to do with fellowship. And the fellowship is in the context. So Paul is writing and he's talking about the fellowship he has with his brother, and he calls them a word, a fellow word. Fellow word. Okay, let me give you a few of them. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. He calls Timothy his fellow laborer. You know what that means? Timothy worked, served alongside him in the ministry. Timothy was a servant of the Lord, a laborer for the Lord. And so Paul and Timothy labored together, and they had fellowship one with another. They had fellowship with him. I'll tell you this, you want to grow close to your brothers and sisters in Christ, serve alongside them in the ministry. All of my lifelong friends today, like the ones that I still contact and the ones that I haven't talked to in 5 years, but if I called them, we'd pick right up, and I could call them and say, hey, I need your help. Where are you at? Wyoming. Okay, I'll be right there. All those kind of friends I have, I've served alongside. I've sweat, blood, and tears next to them in the ministry of the gospel. There's something about serving with brothers and sisters in Christ that brings fellowship one with another. And it surpasses anything you can do around a table with food. A group of people that serves in VBS together grows together. Amen? Oh, it's war. I'm going to get to that one in a second. It's absolute war. So fellow labor. And then Philippians 4:3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. He calls this brother a yoke fellow. Yoke fellow. That means they're in the same yoke together. That means they're bearing a burden together. They're pulling weight together. You see, fellowship is about serving with one another, yoke fellow. In Colossians, he says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, fellow laborer, yoke fellow, fellow servant, serving the Lord together. He tells, these words are used multiple times in the Bible, but in Philemon, he says, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ. That's what you're going to say if you volunteer for VBS this year. You're going to say, these are my fellow prisoners in the ministry. Let me say it like this. You go through some persecution serving the Lord with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing will increase your level of fellowship with each other and with him more. Fellow prisoner. Philippians 2 and verse 25, maybe the most applicable to VBS, is where Paul calls Epaphroditus my brother and companion in labor, a fellow soldier. Fellow soldier. Fighting the battle together. I'm telling you, I love getting around, eating with one another and fellowshipping and just sharing stories and all that good stuff. But I love serving alongside you. I love when people say, I'll take part of that yoke, put it on and march with you. I love when people say, you know what, I'll take that part of that rope and I'll pull it with you. I'll stand in the battle with you. I'll serve with you. I'll show up and help with you. Nothing, I mean, I'm telling you, a church will just meld together in fellowship if they serve together. And it increases our fellowship with the Father. How do we experience true fellowship with God? Well, it's by serving, by becoming fellow laborers, fellow soldiers, yoke fellows, fellow prisoners, fellow soldiers for the Lord. Back in Lubbock, when I was doing a college and career class, we would have a ministry to our the Texas Tech baseball team, and so they would come in. You know, every couple of weeks, we'd have a meal for the whole team. We'd feed the whole team, and of course, our sneaky goal was to give them the gospel somehow, you know, and just minister to them. There was a player on the team who was in our class, and he had a road in there, and so it became a little bit of a ministry for us, and we really enjoyed doing it. And so we ate some meals with those guys, and I got to know some of them, but I'm going to tell you, they had a brotherhood together that I could never enter, and I felt it. You know, we'd eat with them, but I was always sort of on the outside looking in. Why? Because I'm not on the team, right? I'm not swinging a bat. I'm not being counted on to catch the ball or throw the pitch. And so while I was a friend, they seemed like they liked us and we liked them and we enjoyed our time of fellowship. I never really could bond with them. I thought of the same thing. If you went today and you ate with a group of soldiers, you know, people who had experienced war together, can I tell you, you're just never going to get in the inner ring of that. You're just not. And so when I've ministered to veterans in the past, I have to go to that understanding. I've never had bullets shot at me, right? So it's I've got to understand, I may not know all how to be the best sort of minister to this person. And I've got to be aware of that because I can't get in on the inner circle. Can I say this? In our churches today, there are people who are never part of the inner circle because they won't serve. They're not a part of the work. They're not a part of the labor. They're not picking up and pulling with. And you're missing out on a huge part of what it means to have fellowship with God when you serve Him. There's times where you, and I'll just use VBS as the easy one, because when you leave VBS some nights, your back's hurting, you did Tony Chestnut six times. Your back's hurting, your feet are hurting, your ears are ringing. You're not even sure what day it is. You're hoping it's like Friday, but you're not sure. But you lay your head in the bed that night, and I'm just telling you, like, it's a wonderful feeling to be that tired for the Lord. It's just a wonderful feeling to know, we served Him today. If you're not experiencing that, listen, God's not on the couch. He don't want to sit on the couch and watch TV with you. I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying you're not going to find fellowship with the Lord around a sitcom. You're not going to find fellowship with the Lord around a football game. I'm convinced He doesn't care about football games. I care about them. He doesn't. He's not going to fellowship with us, you know, a group sitting around, I don't know, what do we call it, solving the world's problems. Endless hours of scrolling on social media. You won't meet the Lord there. You know where you're going to meet the Lord? In the battle. In the battle for souls. It's where you'll find fellowship. So if you're out of step with the Lord, and just ask yourself, how is my fellowship? How excited am I today as it was when the day I got saved? How good is my relationship with the Lord on a scale of 1 to 10? I'm telling you, it's very simple. Talk to God. Walk with God. Sorry. Listen to God. Walk with God. Serve God. Nothing too hard there. But that is a direct route back to fellowship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You for Your word and the truth in it. I pray You'd help us, Lord, to I just know in my life, I can see areas in these 4 points that need work. I would assume everyone else probably has those areas too. I pray you'd help us to make the changes we need to make. Lord, speak to our hearts about sin. Speak to our hearts about places we haven't given up for you, efforts we have not made for you. Lord, if there's any in the room today that don't know you as Savior, God, would you impress upon them through your Spirit their need to be saved? Lord, help us to make decisions in a time of invitation that would change our walk and change our way this week. And so I pray you'd continue to work now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? Just give you a few moments of an invitation, and I just pray if the Lord spoke into your heart that you'd respond to him this morning. We'll give you that time. Well, amen. Thank you for your attention this morning. Thank you for being here in your place. Looking forward to the day. Be back at 2 o'clock to hear from Brother Jared. You'll be interested to know what the Lord's moving on his heart to do. And I want you to be behind him in prayer. And so you will if you come here today and you hear what's going on with him. And we can pray. And as a church, get behind them as well as they continue to serve the Lord. And so be here at 2 for that. Don't miss it or you'll miss it. Okay. Couple things. I'm really excited about December. It's Christmas. I love Christmas. Our Savior was born, and we're going to celebrate it, and I'm excited. I love the Christmas season. I love when this time of year comes and all the decorations come out, and I go into a small depression when they all go away. So I'm just going to enjoy this month, and I just hope you will too. So we got a lot of exciting things this month that you need to know about. So December 5th, that's this Tuesday. There's a ladies' meeting. That's Tuesday, right? Okay. Tuesday, there's a ladies' meeting. So it's going to be an ornament exchange. So bring an ornament. And then you need to bring some crafty stuff. It's in your bulletin to tell you what to bring. But you ladies are going to have a good time. What's the food? Favorite finger foods. All right. So bring your favorite finger food as well. And come and enjoy the time. My wife let me look at some of her notes for the lesson. It's going to be a blessing. And so I hope that you're there Tuesday. Then the 15th, we're going to have our Christmas banquet. I believe that's a Friday evening. And that's the 15th from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And I got some fun things planned. We're going to have a good time. Just get ready to laugh and enjoy some time of fellowship together. But please come December the 15th to our Christmas banquet, 6 o'clock. And then the 23rd, I'm getting these out of order because I got them written down wrong. The 23rd, we'll have our Grow visitation, and we've got some special Christmas invitations to invite people to the Christmas service the next day. The 24th, we're just going to have one service at 11 o'clock, so no Sunday school or Sunday night on Christmas Eve. We'll just do the one 11 o'clock service. And then for our choir members, just a couple things. We have a choir meeting today after the afternoon service, so hang around after the service. And Brother Luke just wants to go over a few things that's going to happen, but just be a meeting. And then we'll have practice next week. And then there's a Saturday practice on December the 16th, which I'm sure he will tell you about. And our Christmas program this week, we'll have one special, and then the kids are putting together a program. That'll be December 17th. All right, so pretty much if you're wondering, are we doing anything today? The answer is probably yes. And so just pay attention to your bulletin, and we'll have just a great month together. Looking forward to it all. All right, I think that is all of my announcements, and I'm sure you're hungry. So you are dismissed. We'll see you at 2 o'clock.